Welcome to the Issue Is podcast. I'm Alex Michelson. This week, we hear from a strong Republican and a strong Democrat. In a moment, we'll talk with congressional candidate Will Rollins. But let's begin this week with Ronna McDaniel, who is the chair of the Republican National Committee, in town this week in California, showcasing how important California is to all this.
This is the most important election of our lifetime. This is it.
Ronna McDaniel, chair of the Republican National Committee, rallies volunteers at the Orange County headquarters of Republican Congresswoman Michelle Steele.
Don't forget to get out and vote. Ballots drop October 8th. Get them in early.
California's GOP chair, Jessica Patterson, joins in as they talk to voters door to door.
I've got friends in Texas that call us up all the time and just go, why are you still in California?
I know.
This national spotlight is a boost for Steele, currently locked in one of the closest races in the country against Democrat Jay Chen, a small business owner and naval reservist.
We need to turn California Republican so I can come live here.
She sat down with us for an exclusive one-on-one interview.
Ronna McDaniel, welcome to the Issue Is for the first time, and good to have you in California.
I'm so excited to be here, and I'm excited to be on your show, Alex. Thank you for having me.
All right, well, let's talk for a moment about California, because as RNC chair, you got to pick priorities on where to put your money, where to put your resources. You're putting a lot of it here in California. Talk about where California sort of lines up in the priority list nationwide.
Well, California was key to the 15 seats we gained in 2020, right? We picked up four in 2020 here. Our first Asian outreach office that we opened was in California in Michelle Steele's district. And we think we can not only hold those four seats, but we can pick up seats that will give Republicans the majority in Congress.
And of course, the Speaker of the House would be another Californian.
Correct,
Kevin
California.
Kevin McCarthy
we'll
as well.
We'll just be substituting up.
Yeah. Well, let's talk specifically policy-wise. What does that mean for the average person, the average voter in California, if there's a Republican House and Senate versus a Democratic House and Senate? What does that mean for their lives?
So Kevin McCarthy and the House Republicans just unveiled the commitment to America. And we want energy independence, which means lowering gas prices. Your gas is over $5, like $5.75 right now. We want to make sure that parents have a say in their kids' school. We want to say people have the opportunity to achieve the American dream. So many things that we're seeing. And crime is a big issue here in California. And we need to make sure we restore rule of law and protect our streets and our communities.
So specifically, what does that mean?
Giving police the funding that they need, giving them the opportunity to pursue criminals that are violent and not just putting them back on the streets, which we're seeing in LA and we saw with the recall in San Francisco. We've seen Democrats really embrace this pro-criminal culture, and I think it's being rejected by Californians.
But doesn't the Biden plan increase police funding?
The Biden plan may do that, but Democrats, attorneys general and prosecutors across the country have been decreasing. We just saw this in LA. All across the country, Democrats have embraced this defund the police, demean the police, demoralize the police. So we can understand that in D.C. they're going to give some platitudes, but Democrats across the country are going against the police departments, which is rising crime across the country.
Of course, the Democrat running for mayor of Los Angeles would say her George Floyd Justice and Policing Act increased police funding, but we don't have to get into
it. Yeah, but let's look at the crime. I mean, we know the crime's up. We know that there's more looting.
Yeah.
We know this. We just saw Katie Porter say terrible things about the Irvine Police Department. I mean, there is a recurring theme across Democrats. Right now, because it's an election, they're going to pretend they're pro-police, but they've shown through their actions they're not.
Let's talk about inflation.
Sure.
I know this is, you think, the biggest issue. What specifically will Republicans do in office to reduce inflation?
A big thing is energy independence. I mean, we know that Biden on day one got rid of the Keystone Pipeline and stopped drilling on federal leased land. So by expanding our energy independence, which of course you use gas to do everything, right? Heat your home, you're using it for every product that you transport across the country. So by getting those prices down, everything will cost less. And also getting people back to work. We have a huge issue with people not going back to work because of the Biden policies of paying people more to stay out of the workforce. So we need to make sure that we're doing those things, and that will decrease inflation.
Of course, Republicans are highlighting inflation. Democrats are highlighting abortion as a big issue. We heard recently from Lindsey Graham, who said that if Republicans get in there, there will be a vote on a 15-week abortion ban. Should we take him at his word?
I think California has their law set, and we've seen it, and Democrats are going to try and make that an issue in your state, even though it's codified in your state. So most voters are not waking up thinking about abortion. Most voters every day are saying, can I fill my car with gas? Can I pay for groceries? Can I pay my electric bill? What's happening in my kid's school right now? Do I feel safe to get on the street? These are like huge issues. I find it very demeaning as a woman that Republicans view us as single issue voters. I have to think about everything as a mom. I have to think about the whole the wholeness of my family. And gas prices are a huge issue right now. And I'm sick of being put in a corner as if we only care about one thing.
Isn't the point of a national ban to go over the states? And
well, California's Prop 1 is a little extreme, right? It's going till the end of your term, when a baby's due date is. I think most Americans do not think that that's the right course, that we shouldn't be having an abortion on your due date when that baby can live, and we know that. So your law right now is, what, about 6 months viability? I think that Californians don't want to see that go to the ninth month.
So do you support the idea of a 15-week ban?
That's not up to the RNC. That's up to the individual voters. But I will say this. Most voters across the country do not want to see nine-month abortions.
And so where do we go from here? What do the next few weeks of this campaign look like?
Well, we've already knocked 6.5 million doors, or made 6.5 million voter contacts in California. We have races all across this state. And we're going to talk about issues that matter to voters. And the one thing they have to remember is Democrats have been in charge here. Newsom's in charge of California, Biden controls the White House, Democrats control the Senate, Democrats control the House, and they are failing the American people, and they're demeaning the American people by ignoring the issues that everyone's dealing with, because everyone is struggling right now.
What do you make of Gavin Newsom making himself into such a national figure?
Well, I think Gavin Newsom really likes himself. And he wants the rest of the country to like him too, so he's putting billboards and spending money in other states instead of alleviating the problems in your state. You have the highest gas prices, I think, in the country, and I could be wrong on that. And you have a surplus, and that came from federal dollars coming into your state, and you have people leaving California in droves. So maybe stop spending so much time worrying about Florida and maybe focus on the people of California.
Why do you think, though, with all that in mind, and that is all true, that Republicans have struggled statewide, clearly done well congressional races in California, but statewide haven't won since 2006?
Well, I think the big wins that we had in 2020 are a precursor of what we're gonna see. I mean, you have big pendulum swings. Obviously, California is the home to Ronald Reagan. But when you look at the Democrat Party becoming the pro-criminal, anti-parent, pro-inflation, anti-energy independence party, it's out of step with the majority of Americans. And right now, the Republican Party is talking common sense. We're saying you don't have to be a Republican or a Democrat to know that we shouldn't have gas at $5.79 a gallon, that we should have parents have a say in their kids' school, that our streets should be safe, we shouldn't have homelessness running rampant, we shouldn't have drugs at the level it's coming. These are the things that most families think make common sense, and that's why in California I think you're going to see Republicans have a surge.
Part of what we do on our show is we like to have a little bit of fun to get
sure.
to know you. So this is called Personal Issues.
Hey, great.
These are 30 seconds, rapid fire, first thing that comes to mind to get to know your sort of cultural favorites.
Okay.
So here we go. What's your favorite TV show?
Grey's Anatomy.
Very nice. What's your favorite book?
It is Jane Eyre by Charlotte Bronte.
Oh, nice. Classic. Who's your favorite president of all time?
Oh, I don't know. I have so many favorites.
Okay. Who's your favorite band or musical artist?
Imagine Dragons.
Very nice. Do you have a favorite Democrat?
No.
And you obviously come
I will from, say I also love your quarterback for yeah. LA, Matt Stafford, Detroit guy.
Okay.
We love him. I'm from Michigan, from yeah. Detroit, and we loved him for so long, and we were really pleased to see him come here and win the Super Bowl.
Yeah, Super Bowl champion.
And such a nice guy.
Such a nice guy. Last question. Obviously, you come from a famous family. Your grandfather was governor of Michigan, George
yeah.
Romney. Your uncle, the senator from Utah. What's the most important lesson you've learned from your family?
You know, my grandpa every Sunday had us over for dinner and just said, don't take our freedoms for granted. We're so blessed to live in this country. And when you're a kid, it's like, okay, grandpa. But when you get older, you realize those valuable lessons. And one thing he did too is he took all the grandkids on a trip across the country to Grand Canyon and Yosemite and made us understand the beauty of this nation. And I know that exists, and it's why I do what I do, because I love this country. And I'm very worried about our future right now, and that's what the Republicans are offering, a better future for the American people.
Our thanks to Chair McDaniel. Now to a potential rising star in the Democratic Party, Will Rollins.
Ken Calvert got exactly what he's wanted for 30 years. The Supreme Court took away a woman's right to an abortion, paving the way for a national abortion ban.
That is the latest ad for Will Rollins, the Democrats' candidate in California's 41st district. He's trying to unseat Republican Ken Calvert in what could be one of the closest races in the country. Calvert was first elected to Congress in 1992, 4 years. He's represented the western ridge of Riverside County, which has been reliably Republican. But this year, due to redistricting, the 41st district now includes Palm Springs and a whole lot more Democrats. Will Rollins, welcome to The Issue Is for the first time. Good to have you here.
Thank you for having me.
Thanks so much for being here. Thanks for being here in studio. We've extended this invitation to Ken Calvert, and he has not accepted it. We invited him to a debate. He did not accept it. We hope that he'll join us soon, but it's great to hear your perspective. Ken Calvert, pretty known quantity, having been around for so long. You pretty fresh for a lot of people that are watching us. Tell us a little bit about who you are and what makes you want to do this job.
Sure. So I was a federal prosecutor here in the Central District of California for the last 5 years, specialized in counterterrorism and counterintelligence cases. Got into this race because I believe my opponent's a threat to our democracy. Originally wanted to work in national security because of September 11th, junior in high school. When that happened, walked into my first class of the day, saw the Twin Towers collapse on TV, thought about enlisting in the military. But at the time, closeted gay kid, hadn't told a soul, not my friends, not my family, was scared of being outed. So wanted to find a different path into national security. Went to Dartmouth, took Arabic, really sucked at Arabic, was not going to be a CIA linguist as I had hoped at one point. Ended up getting into law school, clerked for a couple of judges, and then was fortunate enough to get hired at the Justice Department and specialize in national security. And loved that job, but over the last 5 years, huge rise in the threats from domestic extremism to hate crimes to January 6th. And having my opponent vote to decertify the election and then call for dropping charges, even after it became clear that 5 police officers had died as a result of that attack, is what got me into this race, because I didn't want to look back on my life and say that I didn't step up when the country needed to challenge people like this.
And you think about how much the country has changed since 2001, just on the issue of gay rights, right? We've now had an openly gay presidential candidate who succeeded, and you're running as an openly gay man. We've got a picture of your partner, Paolo, and congratulations on that relationship. How do you see LGBTQ issues affecting this race? Because we've got this very interesting situation where Palm Springs, which is one of the gayest cities in the entire country, now gets added into this very red district, and now could be the difference between you going to Congress or Ken Calvert going to Congress.
Yeah, and I mean, I do have to give a shout out to Paolo because he's stayed with me for 11 years, even though the only thing I can cook is microwave popcorn. So would not be in this race without...
That's about as much as I can cook as well, yeah.
I'm a bad cook. Yeah. But look, I mean, it is going to matter because Palm Springs, for the first time in Calvert's history in office, is now part of his congressional district. And this is somebody who voted against the Matthew Shepard hate crimes bill, which is just designed to give law enforcement the tools to track down people who are targeting gay kids who are victims of hate crimes, voted against repealing Don't Ask, Don't Tell to prevent people like me from serving in the U.S. military, and just last year voted to allow landlords to kick out tenants because they're gay, voted to allow employers to fire people for being gay. And our community is not going to put up with that. And I think the country really does best when we all succeed based on merit. And that's what I'm about.
You know, Clarence Thomas, in overturning abortion rights, basically suggested that gay marriage could be next, that he would support overturning that. None of the other justices agreed with him, at least in paper. Do you think that's a real threat?
Yeah, I think we should take them at their word. And look, that concurrence provides a roadmap for exactly where the Supreme Court would go. It's where Republican electeds like Calvert have said they want to take the country for the last 30 years. He's somebody who joined the lawsuit to overturn Roe, who's had some pretty radical positions on that issue over the years. And I really see the LGBT community's fight as bound up with women's fight in for freedom and reproductive equality.
Although it's interesting, just this year he voted in favor of same-sex marriage, now that Palm Springs, of course, is going to be part of his congressional district. Let's talk about another big issue right now, which is abortion, which Democrats across the country are talking about. I asked Ronna McDaniel in our last segment, the chair of the Republican National Committee, about Lindsey Graham's recent suggestion that there should be a national abortion ban at 15 weeks. Here's how she answered me. Should we take him at his word?
I think California has their law set.
Wouldn't a national ban go above the state? Do you support the idea of a 15-week ban?
That's not up to the RNC. That's up to the individual voters.
So clearly she didn't really want to talk about that issue. What do you make of what she said there? And how real a threat is that actually in California, where clearly there are so many protections in place for a woman's right to choose?
Well, it's disingenuous of her to respond like that because federal law means that it applies nationally, means that it supersedes state law, means that even if California passes a constitutional amendment, if Republicans take control of Congress and the White House, they can pass a national ban. And so, look, I worked in law enforcement, and I think that what the Republican Party needs to be telling voters is how are the mechanics of what they are proposing actually going to work? Are they going to send in FBI agents to search doctors' offices? Are they going to have federal agents stop women at state lines who cross into another territory because they want to seek reproductive health care? These are legit questions that every voter should be asking as we head towards November 8th.
Of course, Republicans say the big issue isn't really abortion rights, it's inflation and the cost of everything going up. Gas prices going up again this week after dropping for so many weeks in a row. What do you say to the criticism that all of the Democratic spending it contributed to inflation and is making everything more expensive for everybody?
I think Republicans should be honest about the causes of inflation. And in my district, I've got a guy who claims that he's going to expand energy production and that he's going to repeal the state gas tax, over which he has absolutely no power whatsoever. And so, look, inflation is a problem. Democrats should lean in to responsibly solving it with intellectually honest solutions. And I think that means
like
making our markets more competitive. When you have Shell post $9 billion in record quarterly profit with 20% profit margins, and they're still able to charge us $6 a gallon at the tank, that's because only a handful of massive oil and gas corporations dominate the market. And so if you try to make the markets a little bit more competitive and give people room to actually have to cut into those margins, consumers and customers are going to see a benefit.
Another big issue, especially that conservatives point to, is what's happening at the border. We see 2 million people crossing the border. Vice President Harris saying that the border is secure. You look at the images from there, clearly it's not. What do we do about that?
Look, I worked in counterterrorism. I believe the country needs secure borders. We also need a long-term fix to a broken immigration system. And you don't fix that by rounding people up and sending them to Martha's Vineyard on a jet with taxpayer money. What we need is a long-term fix which actually enables asylum claims to be processed in a timely fashion, Israeli anti-tunneling technology to actually make the border secure, an investment of smart resources in a targeted way that both makes the border protected but also provides a humane path to citizenship for people who have been here their entire lives, who were brought here as kids.
Will Rollins is back with us. We have had Governor Schwarzenegger as one of our most frequent guests here on the show. He's a character. His team has actually raved about you. And I'm wondering what lessons you learned from him, and especially as a young Democrat working for a Republican in California.
Yes, so he gave me my first job out of college, and I was a Democrat, but he was obviously a Republican governor and really respected his willingness to reach across the aisle and have a staff that often disagreed with each other in a way that was actually fun, and people had a sense of humor. And I think he knew that he got good advice from those kinds of constructive disagreements from people on the left and the right. And he also had a vision for America that was optimistic and hopeful that he always talked about. And it was great being a young staff member traveling with him around the country and the world, even in some cases, and seeing people respond to his vision for California and America. He had a really unique way to talk about it.
Yeah, and there is nobody like him. And it is crazy to see the way people react to him, too, because he is the Terminator at the end of the day.
Exactly.
We play a game on this show called Personal Issues. This is 30 seconds to get to know you a little bit better, some of your favorites. And we put 30 seconds up on the clock. Hopefully we get ready to go. Here we go. What is your favorite TV show?
Elite on Netflix. Just devoured that. All Spanish subtitles.
Wow, good for you. Favorite movie of all time?
Godfather.
Good choice. What's your favorite way to relax?
Cocktail at the pool.
Good, all right. Favorite book?
1984.
My favorite book. Who's your favorite Republican?
Schwarzenegger, hands down.
Okay, we kind of gave that to you.
Pandering to the old boss,
yeah,
right there.
And who is your role model?
My parents.
Why is that?
My dad was a journalist, mom was a public defender, taught me why America is great and why we all need to fight to keep our rule of law and protect our democracy.
Our thanks to Will Rollins and Ronna McDaniel, and our thanks to you for listening. Hope you'll interact with me in social media at Alex Michelson, and hope to hear from you with your thoughts about this week. Next week, we have a debate on Props 26 and 27, and Lanhee Chen is going to be with us as well, controller candidate. For now, I'm Alex Michelson. Thanks for listening. See you next time.